Amen. Let's take our Bible, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I'm so glad that he set his face like a flint towards Calvary and did that the will of the Father. Amen. What a blessing that is. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And I pray that God will just touch our hearts this morning. We need him. And Brother Richard needs his help too. Amen. I tell you what, I left for 1 week and he changed everything on the computer. Y'all pray for him. Everything on it. Amen. He told me, at least he's honest. He's an honest soul. I'm just giving him a hard time. I got to do that. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Are you glad you're in the house of the Lord?
Amen.
I'm thankful for that. Thankful for that wonderful song. Amen. I'm glad the Lord allows you and I. I'm glad we've got hope because of the resurrected Lord. You and I will live again. We come to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and we'll just jump right in here. If you wanted to divide this chapter up just a little bit, you'll see in verses 1 through 4, you'll see that resurrection is defined. We find the defining. He describes declaring the gospel. Well, let's just read it. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preach unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I deliver unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins. And all God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. According to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the scriptures. And that he was, and then it goes on to talk about who he was seen of. And then let's go to verse number 12. We see resurrection defended, in verses number 12 through 34. We see the defending and the facts of the resurrection. Verse number 12, now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. You are yet in your sins. We're lost. No hope. If he be not raised from the dead. Verse 18. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished.
Right.
No life hereafter. Perished, gone. Verse 19. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are all men most miserable. Hey, I think living for Christ is wonderful to live before the Lord upon this earth.
Yeah.
Amen. It's a wonderful thing. But I'm glad that's not, my hope's not in this world. My hope's not in the things, because sorrows and sadness and sickness and all those things come to a child of God in this world just like it does to everybody else. But hey, we're checking out here one day. We're checking out here one day, and really, that's that door, that death is a door to step out of this world into the eternal world. And we'll be in the presence, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And we'll be with him forever and ever and ever. But verse number 20, here it is. But now is Christ risen from the dead.
Amen.
Hey, forget about what he's defending. Hey, Christ is alive. Christ is risen. Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father. Then if we want to go on, verses number 35 through 49, we see resurrection described. He explains the nature of the resurrection. And in verses 50 through 58, we see resurrection declared. He proclaims the glory of the resurrection. You and I have come here this morning to celebrate one of the greatest days, one of those great days in history, that is of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. On the first part of the week, Jesus Christ, after hanging upon the cross, he was resurrected from the grave. Amen. Jesus Christ came, was born of a virgin. He lived, he walked in shoe leather upon this earth. He was a sinless Lamb of God. And on about 33 and a half years life down here, they hung him on an old rugged cross. They nailed him there. They plucked his beard out. They put a crown of thorns upon him. They put a sign over him, King of the Jews, which he really was. The only thing they said it was truthful that day. The King of the Jews. And he was laid in a borrowed tomb. And on the third and glorious morning, hell could not hold him. Satan could not contain him. Jesus Christ walked out with the keys of death and hell. Amen. The resurrected, victorious God. Amen. The Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus, Revelation 1:18 says, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. Hey, I'm telling you what, Satan don't even have his own keys anymore. God's got them. Amen. We see the resurrection is a proven fact in history through the Word of God and through others. But there was many who witnessed Jesus' bodily resurrection. He appeared to Mary Magdalene, John 20:17. The 11 disciples, Luke 24:33. The disciples of the Sea of Tiberias, John 21:1. The 500 brethren, 1 Corinthians 15:6, if you wanted to read it. The 11 at Bethany where he was ascended. We see he in Luke 24. We see that he was seen of many. The resurrected Lord was seen. You know, the immortality of the soul has always been something that intrigued the mind of men. Where we live for eternity. Job cried out, if men die, shall he live again? Can I say yes? He'll live again. Sets in this building is immortal souls. Eternal souls that will live forever, either in heaven or in hell. This morning, you and I are going to look at these verses in the scripture, the 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the resurrection chapter is called by many. And we're going to see, as Paul tells us, because he lives, there's some things that are promised to you and I because of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, in the next few minutes, I pray, God, you'll take your word, your workmen, do your will. I pray, Father, for your anointing. God, I pray that you'll touch us and use us and help us and lead us and guide us. We do pray in Jesus' lovely name. And all God's people said, amen. When we look at the resurrection, Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says in verse number 20, he said, but now is Christ risen from the dead because he lives. He lives this morning. He's alive. Amen. Paul reassures the Christian of the certainty of immortality, the certainty of eternal life because he lives. Look at verse number 22. For as Adam all died, but even as in Christ shall all be what? Made alive. Amen. Because you and I are what? In Christ. When a person gets birthed in the family of God, when a person gets born again, when a person gets saved, regenerated, whatever you want to call it, man, we realize that when Christ comes and takes up his abode inside of us through the Spirit of God, the book of Ephesians said, we grieve not the Spirit of God, we are sealed to the day of redemption. We're sealed by the Spirit of God. That means Jesus Christ comes and lives within inside of us, takes up his abode in us. We are saved, sealed, and one day we'll be delivered. Amen. And so we see that we're saved and we've been made alive. We understand physical death is experienced by every person. We realize that death is going to come upon everybody. It's appointed man wants to die and after this, the judgment. I know we know that then the rapture takes place and we always say, I'm going to either die or go in the rapture. But I actually believe, and this is etymology, and you know what you do with etymology, you can take it and throw it out the door if you want to, and you'll still be okay, okay? But now Bibleology, theology, you better stay with that, amen? But the Bible says in this passage of Scripture, we can read it, that this old mortal is going to put on immortality. Right? It says that. Really what I believe that means is that this old body is going to die. It'll die. Even when I'm snatched away in that twinkling of an eye, the body dies. Amen. And so, we're from one man's sin in the world and death by sin. So death passed upon all men. For all have sin. Amen. And so we realize that that's the condemnation, that that's the fate of all mankind, and that we're going to be overcome by death. Matter of fact, verses 1 through 4 is what he talks about. He talks about that Jesus Christ died as a man. He died being the God-man. And he died, Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. And he was buried. But the Bible says on that third day, he arose again. Amen. He rose again that you and I could have what? Eternal life. That he could declare us just and righteous. That he could declare us as being as if we've never sinned, justified in the sight of God. And he could cleanse us. Christ's resurrection did occur. In verses 5 through 8, it tells us that these people seen it. It was seen of many how that he did come out of the grave. Paul expresses his assurance that Christ was received and Christians will one day go to him. Look at verse number 23. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruit, after they that are Christ are at his coming. Hey, we're going to go to be like him, be with him. The Bible says that one day we'll see him. We should be like him. Amen. We're going to see him. We're going to be like him. Hey, the hope of the believer, the blessed hope is that this world is not our home. I'm afraid too many of us have sold out to this world. We've drove our stakes too deep in this whole world. I mean, we're living for that. We're living for Friday and for payday. We're living for how much money we can get in our bank account. We're living for how much stuff we can put in our house. We're living for what kind of house we can get into. We're living for the things of this world. You know what you're going to find out? How many here is 25 and younger? Raise your hand. 25 and younger, raise your hand. Okay. All right. Good many of you. You know what you're going to find out one day? You're going to find out money will not buy you happiness.
Amen.
If I would ask those that was 70 or 75 and older to raise their hand and stand up and testify, they tell you two things about life. They tell you one thing, that life is brief. The shortness of life. Life and the things of life is really uncertain. And then there'd be another thing they tell you. No matter how much money, how much things that you may possess, that's not going to bring you happiness in the end. That's not going to bring you happiness in the end. Can I tell you what some of the most happiest people in the world is not rich people? I'll tell you who the happiest people in the world is, people that has tried to seek out God and live for God. And I tell you, they got a bank account on the other side of heaven that's out of this world. I mean, they've laid up treasures in another world. They're some of the most happiest, satisfied people I know.
Amen.
If you know that you're leaving this world and you got a son and a daughter that's behind you that is ready to meet God, professes to be saved, I don't know if there's any greater joy. I don't know if it'd be any greater joy. I'm still young. And all God's people said, amen. I'm still young. And so, you know, that one of the greatest joys. I believe if I could talk to the seniors today. I'm talking about our gray-haired, saintly folks that they've lived that young life. They've tried the American dream in a way. They've lived this life. And they realize now, you're not going to take that stuff with you. You're not going to take your homes with you and the things of this world with you. You're not going to take the treasures down here with you. They're just temporal. They're going to go away, young men. They're going to vanish one day. But there's some gifts that God has given. Amen.
Yeah.
There's some children and grandchildren that God has gave you. Boy, it would be wonderful to know. Brother Ware, I don't know if there's any greater joy to know that your children walk with the Lord.
Amen.
But the Bible says, isn't it? Amen. And John, he talked about that your children are following in the footsteps of the Lord and are walking with Him and trying to serve Him and live for Him. Hey, young people, you want to make your mom and daddy happy? Serve Jesus.
Amen.
Get saved, fall in love with Jesus and serve Jesus. You might not satisfy the wants of this world. You may not say, but I'll tell you what, you'll be the happiest person in the world. I guarantee you. You know, I've never done anything for Jesus that I've been sorry for. That the Lord wanted me to do. I've done some things for Jesus I don't think God had anything to do with. Amen. Amen. Prayed some prayers I'm glad that God didn't answer.
Yes, sir.
Amen. All those things. But I'm telling you, serving, it gets no better than serving Him and knowing Him and living for Him, my friend. the blessed hope you and I have, and that this is not our home. It's appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's one day us being in the presence of Almighty God and living forever with Him. That's the joy of the child of God. Amen. That ought to be our joy. That ought to be our delight. That ought to be our. That should move us in the morning. That should move us in the afternoon. That should move us at night to live for Him, to know that one day we'll be in His presence. He's reassuring us in this chapter that you and I will be at His coming. We will be in His presence. And all throughout the Word of God, it teaches us about the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Whether in His first advent or His second advent, don't worry about that. But one day you and I are going to be with God. We'll be in His presence. Amen. Paul reassures you and I of the certainty of immortality, of eternal life, that we will live with Him forever. We will be in His presence. We will be with Him. Look at verse number 24. Then cometh the end, when He shall have delivered up the kingdom of God, the Father, when He shall have put down all rules and all authorities and all power, for He must reign till He hath put all enemies under His feet. For the last enemy that shall be destroyed is what? Death. Amen. On death. Amen. It's the last enemy to be destroyed. For He had put all things under His feet. But when He had said all things are put under Him, it is to manifest that He is accepted, which did put all things under Him. And when all things shall be subdued unto Him, then shall the Son also Himself be subject unto Him that put all things under Him, that God may be all in all. Amen. Oh, can I say to you and I this morning, we serve a risen Savior. Amen. But not only we serve a risen Savior, we serve a ruling Savior. Amen. He's going to rule and reign. We serve a real Savior. He's real. I mean, He's seated at the right hand of the Father right now making intercessions for you and I. He's real. He's real. He's real. Amen. But I wonder, is He real to you? Is He living in you? Is He in you? Is He living in you? Paul's reassuring us the fact of that eternal life is at our grasp. Eternal life. Let's go over here to verse number 45. And so it is written, the first man Adam was made a living soul, but the last man, the last Adam, not the second Adam. We sometimes say that a long time, but if it was the second Adam, there could be a third Adam and a fourth Adam. And no, this is the last Adam. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit that was not first which was spiritual, but that which is natural, and after that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthly, and the second man is the Lord, is from heaven. And as the earthly, such are also they that are earthly, and as it is the heavenly, such are those also in heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthly, have we borne the image of the earthly? Okay, take a test. Hold your hand up. Come on, hold your hand up. Breathe into your hand. Did you feel something hot and stinky? No, no. Did you feel something hot and smell something stinky? No, did you feel something hot? Did you? I mean, real. Yeah. Did you? Yes. Some of y'all are so Mormon, you don't can't even figure out you're alive. You're alive, right? Sure. If that didn't work, then pinch your neighbor. No, I'm just kidding. You're alive. Look what it says now. If we have borne the image of the earthly, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Amen. Amen. If we're saved, you and I, because we're in Christ. Now, He's talking to saved people. Amen. Amen. Everybody's not going to heaven. Amen. Everybody's not sons of God. Amen. Amen. I've been saved by the marvelous grace of God. We've been put into the family. We've been adopted in the family, been placed in the family, been birthed in the family. I think every way you can get in the family, we got in. Amen. It's been all covered. We're in His family. Yes. Amen. Amen. Yes. And so, we are going to bear the image of the heavenly. He said, now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot enter the kingdom of God, neither the corrupt inherit them. But behold, I show you a mystery. We should not all sleep, but we should all be what? Changed. Amen. But that's talking about those saints that are living when Jesus comes.
Yeah.
going to be changed in the twinkling of an eye. Look what he says, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruption must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. You and I are going to bear the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We're going to live for eternity.
Amen.
We're going to be in the presence of God forever and ever and ever. Amen. Don't get excited. Don't take no medicine. Don't get excited. You're just going to live forever with Jesus in a perfect world. Perfect time. No sin, no Satan, no dying, no suffering. None of that stuff's going to happen. All the former things are going to all be passed away. Don't get excited.
Amen.
It'll be nothing. Just going to walk on a street of gold. Watch down here, everybody prizes will be at our feet.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen.
You know why we can't get excited about it? It's not because of your dignity. Because this world lures within us so much. I don't know. Do you have really enough faith to think that Jesus is going to take you to heaven? Do you have really enough faith to think one day you're going to check out of this world into another world? Do you really have enough of faith to believe that God is going to change this old mortal body, make it immortal? We really have that much faith. I mean, is it really real to us?
Yeah.
I'm telling you what, it was real to a generation. We want to go to Hebrews chapter number 11.
Yeah. Yes,
sir.
Some were sawed asunder. It was real to them. It was real to them.
Amen.
Yeah.
There is really, hey, Peter is cursing God, sitting at a fire, sees the eyes of the Lord, goes out and weeps bitterly. Don't even think he has anything to do with the Lord anymore. Jesus sends for his disciples and Peter. He comes, he said, Peter, feed my sheep. I'm talking about a man that was scared to death and in the upper room frightened, but on the day of Pentecost stands up and preaches to thousands. And you know what he preaches? He preaches about being a good kid. Just living right and doing good, and you'll get to heaven. You know what he preaches about? He preaches about a man called Jesus.
Amen.
That walked upon this earth. Hey, and y'all crucified him and put him on a cross.
Hey.
But on the third day, guess what happened? He resurrected from the grave.
Hey.
Amen. He preached why? Because he had seen a risen Savior. That's why he could stand up and preach and proclaim his eyes had beheld him. He has seen a risen Savior. And one day you and I will see Jesus too. I'm telling you, he's trying to assure us that you and I have eternal life. He's trying, Paul is reassuring us Christians, because Christ resurrected, we don't need to fear death.
Yeah, that's right.
That's what he's trying. Look at verse number 55. Oh, death! It's almost like he's mocking.
Yep.
It's almost like Paul's mocking death. He said, oh, death! Hey, death! Listen here for just a minute. Hey, death! Death! Listen for just a second. Where is thy sting? I'll never forget what preacher it was. He told this story. Him and his dad was in a church service, and as happens in country churches like we know, the wasp gets loose sometime. And this wasp was swinging around, and it came down right on this little boy, and it was right around his head, and the little boy started fighting. And the dad told him, just be still, son. Said, it can't hurt you. It can't hurt you. And of course, the little boy was old enough to know that it can hurt you. What do you mean that it can't hurt me? It can sting me. He said, no, son, just sit still. It won't bother you. It can't hurt you. He said, Dad, it can hurt me. He said, no, it can't hurt you. Because, see, son, here's your stinger. It's already stung me. And it don't have another stinger. Y'all ain't getting it. Because death has been overtaken by Jesus Christ. And the Bible said he tasted death for every man. Hallelujah. Amen. Because he lives, I live.
Yes.
Amen. Because he lives, I live. He said, oh, death. Oh, oh, death, where's thy sting? And then he goes a little bit further. I don't know about y'all, but I don't believe in a lot of these things that people believe in. But I do not like to be in a graveyard at night. And if you do, you're probably not saved. I just don't like to be in a graveyard, now. And that's right. There's something spooky about it. I mean, I don't like to be around dead things. I said I didn't like to be around dead things. Y'all making me feel uncomfortable here. No, I don't like to be around dead things. I like to be thinking about something that's alive, don't you?
Yeah.
I don't like it. He says here about death. He's almost like he's mocking death. He said, oh, death, oh, grave, where is thy victory? Grave and death, you couldn't hold him.
Yeah.
Who is he using as an example? He's using the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. And this is going to hurt some of y'all. But I don't have to fear death. Because I have something that lives within me that's sinless.
Yeah.
I know I'm not sinless, but I'm, when God looks at me, you know, he looks at me, he looks through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, he sees me justified.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
And he said, the sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. Well, guess what? Somebody came and fulfilled the law for me.
Yeah, right.
Amen. And see, since my Heavenly Father has already came and took care of sin and took care of the law, and since I'm in Him, they don't affect me anymore.
Yeah, amen.
As far as this is concerned. Amen.
Yeah.
I'm checking out of here one day because the law has been fulfilled and sin's been paid for and I'm in Christ. And God made him to be sin who knew no sin, and I have the righteousness of God in him. And so I have his righteousness.
Yeah.
He covered me with his righteousness. And so when God sees me, he sees me as a joint heir with the Lord Jesus Christ. Y'all don't get it. Y'all ain't getting it. I don't even know if I got it. I don't even know if I figured it out or not. But you know, how can he see us rough, wicked, ungodly people, and we sin still daily?
Yeah, right.
Amen.
Yeah, you're right.
But because of the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ, because we've been put in Christ, because we're inside of him, he's took care of sin. He's took care of the law.
Amen. Yeah.
Look at the next verse. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our membership of Philadelphia Baptist Church. Through good works and the deeds that we're able to do. Through water baptism. No! Through who? The Lord Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, when we get to heaven, everybody's going to fall down on their knees and bow before an almighty God and look at Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, and say, I'm here because of Him. I'm here because of Him. For by grace shall you say, through faith, that not of yourself, it is the gift of God. Not of works, that any man should boast. I'm not saying, well, you know, I'm in heaven. You know why I'm here, guys? Yeah, I'll tell you why I'm here, man. I'll let you know why I'm here. And I pastor Philadelphia Baptist Church. Yeah, man. I put up with them Baptist people. I mean, I had Baptist people done this, Baptist people done that. I mean, and I put up with all that, and why I'm here because of what I done. No, there'll be no eyes in heaven.
That's right.
It'll be him.
Yeah.
Him. Thanks be to God who gives the victory through what? Our Lord Jesus Christ. You and I don't have to fear death. Why? Because we're in Christ.
Hey.
Because Jesus has tasted death for every man. Now you say, preacher, let me give you my last point quickly. We don't fear that. I could tell you about some. Polycarp, when he was asked to recant, said this. He said, 6 and 80 years have I served him, and he have done me nothing but good. How could I curse my Lord and Savior?
Wow.
Paul said it like this, for I'm now ready to be offered. The time my departure is at hand, I've fought a good fight. I have finished my course, and I have kept the faith. Henceforth is laid it for me, crown of righteousness. I'll tell you what, that earlier church generation, they welcomed death. I mean, we'll just take some time.
Yeah.
Some of y'all won't come back tonight, so I'll just give you two of them today. Hebrews, I'm just joking. That was a joke. I want you back tonight. Hebrews chapter number 11. He talks about those in verse number 33 who have through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of the lion. Boy, isn't that a great crowd of people? Praise God. Quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness was made strong, waxed violent in fight, turned fight the armies of the aliens. I mean, women even received their dead to raise to life again. But then there's a word here. Others. Don't never forget about others. Here they are. Others were tortured. Not accepting deliverance. You know why they could accept it? Deny God. Deny their Savior. Verse number 36, and others had trial of cruel mockings and scourging. They was in bonds and imprisonment. They was stoned. They was sawed asunder. Were tempted. Were slain with a sword. They even wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented, of whom the world was not worthy.
Yeah, amen.
To the world was not worthy. You know how they could do that? I'll tell you how. They didn't fear death. When they was persecuting the church in the early church days, they persecuting the church. You know what happened to the church? They thought they was putting little fires out, but what they was doing was they was stroking a fire, and when they would hit one fire, it would spread all out. Begin to burn. See, what happened is people got to seeing people not afraid of death. They was willing to die. They was willing to give their life. They was willing later on in life, as a church in years, they was willing to be burned at the stake. Many of men went to the stake to be burned. And some of their wives would follow behind them and say, burn me too. Burn me too. They weren't afraid to die. Now, I'm just like you. I get a cold, I'm going to go to the doctor. I want to live as long as I can live. But they weren't afraid to die. You know why? Their faith was strong. Hey, most of us have problems living faith. We're really going to have problems dying faith. I'm not preaching to you. I'm preaching to me. Amen. Our faith. If we believe God can't meet our needs down here, how are we going to believe God can meet our needs to get us to heaven?
Yeah.
You got to admit we've got weak faith.
Yeah.
I mean, can we live among that crowd sawed asunder? Destitute. Wandering here and there. What Paul is trying to get to us in 1 Corinthians is you and I have a living Savior. We got victory. We don't have to fear death. Now let me give you this last one very quickly. She's coming. They're going to sing. Paul assures the Christians that because of Christ's resurrection, his labor is not in vain. Look at verse 58. Therefore, and you know what we're supposed to do with that word. Look why it's there.
Yeah.
Because all he just said, he said therefore. My beloved brethren, talks to the saved here. He said, you know what I want you to do? I want you to be steadfast and unmovable. Always abounding in the work. He said, I want you to be a servant of the Lord. I want your Savior. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. He said, that's success. Not in vain. You know what? If we don't watch it, we think all that we do here is vain. We don't watch it. We'll come to church this morning, and because we don't see what we want to see, we'll think things are vain. We don't watch it. The devil still get up on your shoulders. Oh, you're just going down to that church and you're tithing and trying to live right. It ain't. Look, you're having problems here. Hey, your car broke down. Your kids are sick. Oh, that happens to everybody. Everybody. And the devil get on your shoulder and say, it ain't worth serving Jesus. It ain't worth living for him. I'm going to tell you, that Bible says it's worth living for him.
Amen.
He said, your labor will not be in vain. Think about those missionaries that got up this morning I know you're going to be a missionary. They go, I'll tell you what, some of the missionaries got up this morning, some of them have been serving on the field for years. And they're going to walk into a small little congregation of people. I'm just talking about 10, 15, or 20. They've been trying to live right. They've been faithfully sacrificing just to get the gospel to a group of people that does not care and does not understand and does not want to know Jesus. That is stooped in their traditions and in their own religion and their own idols.
Yeah.
There's somebody there in Australia is trying to stand out the gospel. Somebody there in Europe now once had the gospel and now is forsaking it. And now hardly anybody will listen to the gospel. And right, and you know what? That's where America's headed, just like Europe. We're just about 30 years behind them. I used to say 50, but I think we got closer to 30 years behind them. And they closed up the churches. They made businesses out of them, offices out of them. Churches that used to preach like this church preached. I'm not talking about heathen churches. I'm not talking about social church. I'm talking about churches that sounded out the gospel. And now missionaries are there trying to revive a fire that's almost been put out. Your labor is not in vain. Can I put it this way, Brother Scott? Every prayer you pray, it's not in vain. Every dime that you give, it's not in vain. Every time that you put your key in that car and crank it up and go down that little dirt road, get on the main road, and then people sitting there, and you that's in the subdivisions, they're watching you leave out. It's not in vain.
Amen.
One day, at the great white throne judgment, there are going to be people standing there. I don't know how God's going to do it, but he's going to say, hey, you know, I had a witness that passed by your house. I had people that lived right beside you. They shared the gospel. They gave you a tract. They invited you to church. They might not have been as venomous, and they might not have been as forceful. They might not have been as like they should have been, but they witnessed. So you've got the witness. And every Sunday, you've seen them get in their car. Sister Gebhardt, you and Brother Allen get in that car and back out of that driveway and this house is set on both sides.
Yeah.
Many of your neighbors didn't come to church this morning. Y'all know that. Right?
Right?
As far as I know, except for one lady at the end of our street on the left, only one in my neighborhood this morning. Only if there's three, four, five, we got a new house. Six houses in our, and ours seven. As far as I know, except for that elderly lady, if she got up and left this morning, she leaves after I do, so I don't know. She goes over here to Salem. Her husband don't even go, Jack's lost, never been saved. And I'll tell you what, every time she gets in that car and drives up that driveway, it's a witness.
Yes, sir, it is.
Amen. Every time somebody at work says, what are you going to do Friday night? I said, well, we're having a revival this week. I'm going to revival.
Good.
And they look, revival. Poor Christian. We're going to go out and have fun. We're not going to know what we done last night.
Mm-hmm.
What fun. Amen. I'm telling you, every time you witness, every time you go to the family reunion and you get looked down on because your church, because your family is serving God, trying to live for the Lord,
mm-hmm.
and everybody else is in a hype about what they're doing and what they're involved in it. Amen. Am I preaching down somebody's corn row? Amen. And devil's on your shoulder. I mean, he's on your back. He said, it ain't worth it. Paul's trying to reassure us because of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our labor is not in vain.
Amen.
Yeah.
Our labor is not in vain. We're standing our heads bowed with the mics ready to sing.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for this day. Lord, thank you for this time that we come and to be able to worship you. And Lord, we thank you that you're not dead, but you're alive. And Lord, thank you for the good message that we heard. God, I ask you to help us to bring us all back together this afternoon. And we'll thank you and praise you for all that you do. In your name we ask it. Amen.